I'd like to thank everyone for joining us, and I'm sure we'll have some more callers joining us as we get further into the hour. I'm Vanessa Emerson, and on behalf of the Directory of Dental Speakers, I'd like to welcome you to today's teleseminar entitled Three Things Dental Speakers Can Do to Get More Stuff Done with Don Khoury. Now, before we begin, a few housekeeping items. We're going to ask our callers to mute themselves today by pressing *6. This is going to be an interactive session, and Don will be asking questions, and we would love to have your participation. So you will be able to unmute yourself by pressing *6 when you're ready to speak, and then can remute again by, again, that's a toggle with that *6. So it'll mute you and it will unmute you. And we do plan on Q&A near the end of the call. So if you'd like to ask a question you don't have a chance to ask during the interactivity, feel free to email your question to info@directoryofdentalspeakers.com, and I'll be sure that Don gets that question. And if we have time, we'll ask it during our session. And also, today's session is being recorded, and a copy of the audio is available through the Directory of Dental Speakers website. And that brings us to Don. Don Khoury is an executive coach who coaches dentists to nail down their vision and inspire everyone on the team to be responsible for it. He is an expert in personal productivity and certified in the Getting Things Done methodology. He's passionate about helping his clients be more productive. So shall we get rolling, Don?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Vanessa. I appreciate it. And, you know, the great thing about a small group is we can customize this, really, and make it as much about what you guys need as anything. So maybe I'd just love to start off with that and ask you guys, Bob and Marianne, what's most pressing on your mind right now? What would you like to get out of this 1 hour that we have?
Marianne, you want to go first?
I was unmuting myself, and so I missed a good portion of what you said. I'm so pleased. I know you were wanting us to ask what our concerns are. Was that?
Yeah, what would you like to most get out of the call today?
Well, I'm new to really trying to market myself to meeting planners. And so I guess my and I don't know whether this is really the direction that you're going in, but it just tips on making yourself more visible to these meeting planners.
Okay, well, I'll certainly give you some tools to track all of that for yourself, so that will be helpful. And Bob, how about you?
You know, Don, I think the thing that I'd love to get are some gems from you in regards to just managing your time, being able to pull more out of each day, and in particular, how to manage long-term projects, short-term projects with the ever-pressing, demanding inbox of email.
Okay, fantastic. Okay. Thank you. I think someone else joined. Would you like to just introduce yourself? And if you have something that you'd like to get most out of the day, let us know.
My name is Pat, and I had internet trouble, so sorry I couldn't get on time. I would like to plan my day better. And when I'm speaking to a group on how to get more into that program itself, and then just my time. You know, there's not enough time in one day.
That's correct. Okay, fantastic. Thank you. So, you know, as others join, just get the sense that this is a very interactive session and we have a small group, so feel free to jump in anytime and participate. And so also, just to make sure everyone really is in the right place here, those of you who would like to have more time and energy to do more creative and interesting things and would like to be able to think, plan, and play more and spend more time engaged in more important things. A lot of you, I think, are feeling that, as Pat was just talking about, there's not enough time. Today, information is coming at us faster than any human being can deal with. Interruptions, surprises, crises are frequent and intrusive. Critical tasks are falling through the cracks. And priorities are constantly changing and sometimes even unclear to begin with. So as a result, strategic projects are not getting the attention they deserve, right? So, you know, and I heard some interesting stats recently that in 1900, your average person was exposed to 1,000 pieces of new information in about 6 months. And in 1950, your average person was exposed to 1,000 pieces of new information in 6 days. And today, 1,000 pieces of new information in about 2 hours. So it's just coming at us, you know, from all over the place. And it's interesting because when I'm working with a potential dental client, they'll say something like, hey, Don, this is really impressive what you do, and I'd love to work with you, and I need to get this other thing under control first. And it could be something like hanging a TV in the waiting room or moving to a new office or hiring a new employee before I can really start working with you. And the reality is those things really are not going away, right? There is always more to do than you can do. And if you're just realizing that now, I think you may need a drink or a priest or a grief counselor or something like that, right? So if this is all ringing true for you, then you're in the right place. Sound good so far?
Oh, sure.
Absolutely.
So so just to give you a little bit of a little bit on my background, as Vanessa said, I'm an executive coach, and I coach dentists to nail down their vision and inspire everyone on the team to be responsible for it. My background really is in software development. So I worked at Fidelity Investments for a number of years, and I led global software development teams across the globe, from Boston to Bangalore and Paris to Dallas. And you really had to be at the top of your game to get all of these teams to work together really closely. So about 10 years ago, Bob Reynolds, who at the time was the vice chairman of Fidelity, was speaking to a group of senior leaders, and he said, I see it as a failure of our company when we have to hire leaders from outside. And so it was really a message to all of us in the room that it's your job to develop the next generation of leaders. So I took that pretty seriously and built it into my work and learned as much as I could about leadership and coaching and building high-performing teams. And the more I started doing that, the more I enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed the technology work. And so I decided to pursue that full-time. And at the same time, my wife, who is a dentist, asked, gee, you know, can we apply some of this stuff in my practice? Can you help maybe take my team to the next level? And so we did that and applied some things there and talked about productivity with them and leadership and team building. And that's how I got into this space and pulled together what I love to do, which is executive coaching and leadership development and productivity, and do that for dental offices. So, you know, I start where people are and not where they should be. If you can't handle where you are and get focused on that right now, then where you should be is like spitting into the wind, right? So once you get now nailed, then you can put anything into a system to track it and get better at it. So we're going to talk about three tips today about getting more things done. Well, we'll talk about how to identify some techniques to capture what has your attention, make decisions about all of that, and then organize it in a streamlined way so it's available when you need it to. You know, by the way, I find it interesting because it's always the most productive people who are the ones that are most hungry for improving productivity. So, you know, you guys all get things done today, and you know how to do it. And what will really take it to the next level is understanding the principles of what you're doing to get the things done. Once you understand the principles, then it becomes a repeatable process, and that's what you want. So it's really about keeping track of all the things we've committed to and making it easier to get from here to there, right? And, you know, just one more thought also before I dive into the tips is it's not really about time management. And the words are kind of funny because 8 hours is still 8 hours no matter how you slice it. You can't make it 9 hours. I've tried, believe me, you can't do it. Right? You can't. Whoever said you can't put more time in the day. It's what you do during the time. It's that discipline, and the discipline results in freedom. And that's really where the power of this comes in. It's about giving you freedom. So think about for a second a time when you were really focused and on top of your game. Really focused and on top of your game. You got it? So throw out a few words at me. What did that feel like?
On top of the world.
For me, it felt locked in.
Focused.
Locked in, on top of the world. Good. What else?
Focused.
Focused.
In the zone, I suppose, is the other phrase.
What was it?
In the zone.
In the zone. Good.
Getting it done. Feel good about it.
You're proud.
Proud. Good. Yeah, you guys covered it. The productive state is when really you feel in control, you're concentrated, focused, making good decisions, feeling relaxed and flexible while making progress on your goals. And here's the great news. The great news is this is reproducible. So I'm going to show you how to get there. So I want to use a little bit of a metaphor. Picture for a minute a lake at 6 o'clock in the morning. What do you see?
Placid.
Yeah. Cool. Someone comes along and throws a pebble into it. What happens is the lake reacts perfectly appropriately. A few ripples, and in a few seconds, back to calm. Someone else comes along and throws a boulder in. Again, the lake acts perfectly appropriately. A lot more ripples and a lot more waves and more time, but ultimately back to calm. And that's the way we want to react too. We get these interruptions in crisis, and you don't see the water kind of tensing up when the boulder is coming at it, right? It just deals with it and moves on. So we want to have a good system that gives us the tools to make decisions about how am I going to deal with this crisis, and is it really a crisis that requires me to move my attention from what I'm working on to what's happening now. So what you want to do is really externalize any commitment you have with yourself or anybody else. Clarify exactly what that commitment means, what the outcome is, the action steps you need to take to make it happen, park the results of that defined work in a system that you trust you're going to follow up on at the right time, build it in a good review on that whole inventory, and then just trust your instincts you're going to do the right thing at the right time. That's what this is really about. So as I said before, it's not about time management. This is about getting free and clear to follow the voice that's really always been there. People will say to me, but Don, I don't really want all this structure. I feel kind of confined. For those of you that are familiar with Myers-Briggs, maybe the J's might like the structure and the P's may not. But you know what? You can't have the freedom until you know what you're committed to. So here's tip number one. Tip number one is capture anything and everything that has your attention into external buckets. You want to get everything out of your short-term memory. So let me ask you guys a question. Who knows what computer RAM is?
Computer what?
Computer RAM, R-A-M.
Oh. Wasn't that the memory of the computer?
Yeah, random access
memory. Yep.
Yeah, random access memory. Exactly. It's temporary memory your computer uses to store things that you're working on for quick access. It's faster than the hard drive. so things that you're working on can be temporarily stored there for fast access. What happens when RAM gets overloaded?
Everything slows down.
Yeah, the computer slows down and may even crash, right? Guess what? The same thing happens to us. There's a study done in the 1950s by a German psychologist who said, we can store about 7 things in our short-term memory. After that, we start to slow down. So, you know, we have all of these kind of open loops flying around in there, and I would define an open loop simply as something that is not in the state that you picture that you call done. And so it's not in its final state. It's in process somewhere. So we have all of these open loops flying around in our heads. And, you know, each of you has somewhere between, I'll estimate, 30 and 60 projects and over 100 tasks on those projects that you have to complete. And if you're not tracking these in a trusted system, then you're trying to remember them, right? And I'll argue that this is not the best use of our mind. First, the mind's not a great tool to track all of this. And secondly, it's much better at thinking at higher levels, strategically, about goals and vision and mission. That's where you want your mind to be, not remember the milk. In fact, there's an inverse proportion between on your mind and getting it done. An inverse proportion between on your mind and getting it done. So if that's true, then the most productive people are the ones with empty heads. And that's kind of where I am. And you're probably thinking, yeah, we knew that already, Don. Thanks for clarifying. So all of these tasks and things that we're trying to remember to do are commitments. So this is really about tracking commitments. They're commitments that we've either made to someone else or, just as importantly, by the way, to ourselves. And so we have 3 options to dealing with these commitments. The first is don't make the commitment to begin with. And I'll tell you what, when you have much better clarity about everything that's on your inventory, about what you have to do, you'll be a lot more clear about what new things you can take on, right? So, yeah, you may want to do this. You may want to tell your kids that, hey, you know what, we made some decisions and we're not really committed to raising you anymore. You guys are on your own. The second thing you can do is keep the commitment, right? I committed to being here at 6 o'clock that's Eastern time, on Tuesday night, May 15th, and I'm here, so I kept the commitment. The third is to, and this is one that we don't use enough, renegotiate your commitment. So, for example, if I couldn't make this call for some reason, then it would sure be nice of me to pick up the phone and call Vanessa and explain that, hey, you know, this other thing came up and I'm not going to be able to make it and here's why, and renegotiate that, right? So here's the challenge. How can you keep a commitment you can't remember you made? How can you keep a commitment you can't remember you made? So we want to really store all of these and get really good at deciding what's an important commitment to take and what's not. So here's exercise number 1. Pull out a blank piece of paper, and if you have your handout that Vanessa sent out, that will come in handy here, and it's not necessary. So don't go looking for it. I'd rather have you focus the time on the exercise. So here's what I want you to do.
Now,
on this blank piece of paper...
John,
yep, go ahead.
I was just going to say, let me interject as well. For those who did not receive the handout, if they didn't pre-register, after we're done with this exercise, you can go collect that handout on the website, the directory website. Just follow the link for the teleseminar, and you'll be able to find the download. It's in red for that handout. Thanks. I apologize. I forgot to mention that earlier.
Yep, no worries. Thanks, Vanessa. So here's what you want to do with this blank piece of paper is write down everything right now that has your attention. Write as fast as you can. Don't even pull the pen off the paper if possible. These could be big things like solve world hunger or small things like buy nails at the hardware store. Even if you think you've captured it somewhere else, write it down anyway. I'm going to take about 5 minutes for this exercise. And where the handout comes in, there's a little trigger list. And if you get stuck and you're not writing, refer back to the trigger list. And what I'll do is I'll just periodically read a few things from it to keep you moving. So if you haven't already started, get writing. What projects have you started that may be in process? Any communications that you need to make, calls, emails, voicemails? Anything you need to write? Any upcoming meetings that you may need to prep for? Anything in your read pile that you want to get back to?
I'm getting overwhelmed by making my list.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that too.
It's scary.
Financial, what do you have that you may need to get done around investments or bookkeeping or forecasting? If you have teams, anything that you need to do with your teams, restructuring, organization, job descriptions, hiring, firing, development, any kind of systems issues like phone, computer, office supplies. I know most of you are in doing some type of sales, so anything that requires some follow-up with customers or prospects or leads, relationships. Marianne was talking about marketing earlier. Anything you need to do to get yourself out and be more visible? Anything you're waiting for from other people? Information, something you've loaned out, decisions, changes, something you've ordered. What about your own professional development? Training, seminars, skills to develop? Anything from a wardrobe perspective you need to take care of, professional or personal? On the personal side, any vacations or leisure activities that you're planning? Anything around the house that needs to be taken care of? How's your health? Any doctor, dentist, other appointments that you need to make? Is the car ready for a checkup? Anything around transportation that may need some attention? Pets? Any errands you need to run? Let's take another 30 seconds and round that out. Right, cool. So, you know, you can go on and continue this if you feel there's more stuff. And, you know, I was working with one client, and after about 6 hours, I said, well, you kind of get the hang of it. You can finish it on your own, right? So you guys started to share a little bit about what feelings showed up. So I heard overwhelm. What else?
Never-ending list.
Yeah.
Surprise. So many things.
Surprise. Okay. What else?
It feels heavy when I want it to feel happy and fun because I love what I do, but it feels heavy, like there's too much.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
As well as a general feeling that all of this is doable if it
mm-hmm.
could be more organized.
Yeah.
What's on first?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Good. Yeah, it's interesting how you kind of get two sides of the spectrum in terms of emotions that show up on this exercise, right? You guys covered a lot of the kind of what I call the grief side, right? Overwhelm and never-ending and surprise and heavy. And then there's also a lot of times the sense of relief that, well, at least I have it in one place and I can do something about it, right? And by the way, I haven't heard anyone yet drop off the line, so that's good that you're saying, well, I have way too much to do. I can't spend another half hour listening to this guy. So thanks for staying on. And I commend you for that. One of the things that we preach with dentists is continuous and never-ending improvement. So every day you want to try to get a little bit better and do something a little better. So one bit of caution about this list is this is not a to-do list, right? This right now is just a bunch of unclear stuff that you have that you really can't take action on yet. When we get to the next tip, that's when we can start to take action on it. So just a few things before I move off this tip that you want to remember about capturing everything that has your attention, which is you want to get it out of your head. You want to put it into a trusted system. And you want to empty your collection buckets regularly. So, Bob, you were talking earlier about your inbox, right? Your inbox is another one of these collection buckets. This list is a collection bucket. Your voicemail is a collection bucket. If you get text messages, that's a collection bucket. Facebook is all of these different things are collection buckets, and you want to empty them regularly. So I'll actually advocate that you want to get your email inbox to zero at least once a week. That means no messages in your inbox. It doesn't mean that they're done. It just means that you've processed them and they're in a state that you can take some action on. So we don't want to use our inbox as a way to track our actions. So, you know, it's interesting about what has your attention, because if you don't give appropriate attention to what has your attention, it will get more attention than it deserves, right? There's no reason to have a thought more than once unless you like the thought. Then have it as many times as you want. And by the way, when you pay attention to what has your attention, you'll really get to know what has your attention. If you pay attention to what has your attention, you'll really get to know what has your attention. All right. Are you ready for tip number two?
Yeah.
Make decisions on what action to take. So now you have a bunch of unclear stuff listed out there. And you need to make a decision on what you're going to do about it. And so this step really takes all of that unclear stuff that you've captured and puts it into a format that you can take some action. I had a client, I had a client the other day that was talking about an estate plan. On her to-do list was estate plan. Well, and that may be, you know, on one of your lists as well. Well, the challenge here is you can't really, unless you're a lawyer, you can't really do estate plan. You can't do anything about that. So as we talked it through, she went from, okay, well, how are you going to do that? I said, and she said, well, you know, I have to hire a lawyer. Okay, well, how are you going to do that? Well, I'm going to call a number of lawyers. Okay, how are you going to do that? Well, you know, I have to kind of go into my files and extract the names and phone numbers of lawyers that are in my files. Great, and you have the phone numbers to do that? Yes, I do. Great, that's an action. Call Joe Smith, 617-275-1234. That's something you can do, right? So what happens is we look at these things like estate plan on our to-do list, and we're so smart, intelligent, creative, and sensitive people that our mind tries to look at that, and intuitively, you know, that's way bigger than I can do anything about next, and you're going to go on to the next thing. So guess who the biggest procrastinators are? The most intelligent, creative, sensitive people. I'll introduce you to one. Hello. I'm right here. So all you need to spend about an hour a day, and maybe even a little bit more, depending on what type of work, to really process all of your stuff. And so here's how to process. First thing you want to do is ask yourself, is it actionable? That's the first question. Is it actionable? If it's not actionable, what do you do with it? Simple. You're either going to throw it out, or you're going to put it into a file for reference, or you're going to incubate it for some point in the future. Maybe you don't want to take action on it now. Take a Mediterranean cruise, for example. You know, that's something I have incubated. It's not actionable right now, but you know what? At some point in the future, I may want it to be. So simple, if it's not actionable, three simple things. Dump it, file it, or incubate it. If it is actionable, you want to ask yourself two simple questions. What's the successful outcome? And what's the next action? What's the successful outcome and what's the next action? Now, here's a tip. And if you follow this tip, I guarantee it will make the 1 hour worth it if you take nothing else away. When you define the next action, if it's going to take you less than 2 minutes, just do it, because it will take you more time to track it and come back to it than it will to just do it. So if it's less than 2 minutes, just do it. If it's time and date specific, then it goes on your calendar. If it's an action that you need to take, but it's not time and date specific, you can do it anytime, then put it on your action list. And if it's to be delegated, and you still want to know what's going on with it, then put it on a waiting list. So you have your calendar, your action list, and your waiting list. So wouldn't it be nice to know all of the stuff that people owe you and keep track of that versus, hey, this guy never got back to me. So who would like to volunteer just a couple of minutes and share something on your action list? I mean, on your mind sweep list.
Follow up with the client.
Okay, Bob, I heard follow up with the client. So is that, let me just ask you this, is that part of some bigger project that you have?
Yes, it is. It's follow up after an on-site consult that took place 3 weeks ago.
Okay, so
with a proposal that was given and needs to be follow up now.
And so what's the successful outcome of all of that?
Successful outcome is a contract.
Okay.
For at least 12 months.
So obtain signed contract from client.
Yep.
I like to start these with action verbs so I know what I'm doing about it. Am I reading the contract or am I writing the contract? Or it sounds like you want to obtain a signed contract. And so what's the very next action? What can I actually physically, visibly watch you doing on that project?
Call Dr. Matthews and follow up.
Fantastic. And do you have Dr. Matthews' number?
I do, yes.
Okay, perfect. So call Dr. Matthews. So now you want to, and the benefit of tracking both of these things just very quickly, tracking the project allows you to have an umbrella so that things don't fall through the cracks. Because as soon as you call Dr. Matthews and check that off your list, how else are you really tracking this situation? Bringing it back to your successful outcome, obtain, sign contract with Dr. Smith, that is going to help know what the next step is, or at least trigger your thought process so you can define the next step.
Yeah.
And I love to ask that question. Well, do you have the phone number? Because if you have call Dr. Matthews, and your mind is going to, if you don't have the phone number there and you don't know the phone number, it's not in your contact list, then your mind is going to do the same thing. And intuitively, because you're intelligent and creative, it's going to skip by that and say, well, I don't really have that handy right now. Next. Right? So you want to make it as easy as, you know, I used to have this job when I was 18 years old, grating eggs. Imagine how fun that is. So I used to take eggs that were all kind of different sizes and different shapes and put them on a conveyor belt, and the conveyor belt would weigh them and put them into large, extra large jumbo, and then someone else at the other end would put them in the crates. There wasn't a lot of thinking in that job, right? We're doing all knowledge work here, as Peter Drucker defined. And so what we want to really get our knowledge work down to is grating eggs and turning widgets. And it's just bang, 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 just get them out all day. So you're really only thinking once a week, and you're just cranking these things out through the day. Because, you know, when you get into the heat of the battle, there's no time to stop and think and figure out what you need to do. It's already too late. All right, so we have about 5 or so minutes, right, Vanessa, before we open it up for more questions?
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's...
Wherever you'd like to break.
Okay, cool. So let's go to tip number 3, which is organize the results of your decisions into reviewable and retrievable categories. So organize your decisions, i.e. the decisions you just made about what you do. Another way to say that would be organize your actions into appropriately reviewable and retrievable categories. So let me ask you a question. Have you guys ever had a situation where you took work home with you and like your job depended on you taking it to the office the next day? Does that sound like something familiar? If you did, great. If you didn't, just imagine, where would you put that so that you made sure you brought it with you the next day when you were headed out to the office?
My purse and keys.
Yeah, purse and keys.
By the door.
In front of the door is one I hear a lot. And that's where we want these actions. We want them to be in front of the door so they show up at the right time for us to take action on it. Right? When do you realize that your flashlight has dead batteries in it? When you're at the dead ones, right? Wouldn't it be nice if you got reminded that your flashlight needed batteries when you were at the live ones? Wouldn't that be a better use of your mind? So that's where we want to put these things. I finished a call just before this at 5:30, so I had about 15 minutes of time before Vanessa and I connected on the call. And so what I did was I looked at a list of emails that I need to send. And I'm in front of my computer, and I got 2 or 3 emails sent that I needed to in those 15 minutes. If I didn't have those predefined and identified ahead of them, I probably would have just spun for 15 minutes. It's like your shopping list, right? You don't keep all of your to-dos on one list. You keep the list of stuff that you need from the supermarket. So it's kind of the same idea. We want to put all your actions. We don't want to put all your actions on the same list here. We want to break them up. So I'm going to tell you how to break them up. So here's here's a suggested approach is to separate them by context, because that's really the first decision you need to make about what you're going to do. So what do I mean by context? What I mean by that is at calls is a context. So if you have your phone and nothing else available, wouldn't it be nice to see all of the phone calls that you need to make and nothing else? So that's a context. At computer is a context. So anything that you would do at your computer, browse for whatever information. Maybe it's write a blog if you're doing that. This is an option, and it's something that I've been doing recently, is separate from my at computer list an at email list. So if I'm in the mode of sending emails, then I'm cranking out all my emails. Another list is at errands. So when you're out and about, you have all of those available to you. And you can kind of look at those, and you know, if you're in the mall and you can scan down your errands list, or at Home Depot or whatever, wherever it is, you have all of those available. Maybe at home, things that you can only do at home and nowhere else, like clean the garage, is not going to be on your at computer list or at calls list. Would be at your home list. Here's a nice little tip list I like to have, which is called at agenda. And that could be either a meeting that you have upcoming that you may want to jot some things down that you may want to bring up, or it could be someone that you meet with on a regular basis. Wouldn't it be nice to know all of the things that I need to talk to Vanessa about when I'm going to be sitting in front of her, instead of trying to think of those at the last minute? So on my add agenda list, I'll have a section called Vanessa, and anytime I think of something I need to talk to Vanessa about, it goes on my Vanessa list. And then it also saves Vanessa too, because I'm not interrupting her 10 times. I'm going to cover all the things I need to cover with her the one time I meet with her. I talked about this list before, which is a waiting list. So anything that you're waiting for from someone else, and it's nice to date those. So, Bob, 5:15, said he's going to send me XYZ. And so those are the main lists. I would at kind of the next level, the ones I just reviewed are action lists. The next level would be projects. So when you answer that question, what is the successful outcome? That's really your project, and that will go on your project list. Okay. So why don't I take a deep breath, Vanessa, and just ask if there are questions, comments, thoughts?
Sounds like a great time at this point. I don't have anything that's coming through email yet. Pardon me. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Vanessa, if I could just ask this. I mean, is there a electronic solution that you have found to keep these lists organized and to allow you to do these brain dumps? For instance, Outlook is something that we commonly deal with, but I found it to be really, really inefficient when it comes to helping manage myself.
Hmm. Well, there are lots of electronic tools out there, and since you said Outlook, you're probably Windows-based, not Apple-based, right?
Yes, I'm a dinosaur.
And actually, I use Outlook. I think it's actually very effective for managing all of this. So it has email, which is easy, your calendar you can manage there. I use the to-do lists to cat all of those contexts I just reviewed with you are a category in Outlook. And so when I create a to-do, I will assign it to one of those categories, like at calls, at computer, at home, at office, etc. And then I use the notes in Outlook, which were originally designed as like these little post-it notes, and they're just good for like flat texts, like checklists. I keep my goals in there. I keep my personal mission statement in there and my vision. These are kind of the higher levels of focus beyond, you know, buy the milk and get nails and batteries and all of that stuff. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does.
Okay. And then there are other, for the Mac people out there, there are tools. One is called Nozbe, N-O-Z-B-E. And there's another one that I'm drawing a blank on. There's one called Things on the Mac also that will run on your iPhone and your iPad and synchronize. There are lots of these tools out there. What other questions?
In Outlook, do you use the categories? Is that how you would title these, or you know?
Yeah. So and the categories work across all of those functions: the to-dos and the notes. And so the categories are the contexts.
Okay.
As I was talking about before, at calls, at computer, at email, and then projects and a few other things. That's and then so, you know, for example, and by the way, I'm a BlackBerry user, and that those synchronize with my BlackBerry. So if I'm out and about, and generally if I'm on my BlackBerry, the list I'm looking at is my at calls list, occasionally at emails, but you know, it's not the easiest thing to be sending emails there. So I'll be looking at my at calls list there. If I'm at my workstation, I'll most likely open my at computer list or my at email list. By the way, if I have a call to make where I think I need to schedule something with someone, or I feel I need my computer, that goes on my at computer list, not my at calls list, because I may need that flexibility.
Have you heard of Task List Guru? I have that, and I kind of like. I'm caught sometimes between the to-do list and Outlook, and using this Task List Guru.
I'm not familiar with that particular tool. No, is that an online tool or?
Yeah, it just I've heard about it and downloaded it, and I like it, but it does kind of make more sense if you're going to be in your Outlook a lot anyway. To make more use of that, and I think I didn't really understand exactly how to divide it up like you do, and so I wasn't taking full advantage of it, and so this Task List Guru just sort of is minimized down in the toolbar or whatever you call that down at the bottom of the screen, and so it's just easy to pull it up and see what's on my list.
You know, so the beauty of this is it's more about the methodology than it is about the actual implementation. When I started doing this 20 years ago, I had a paper and pencil system called Time Design that I implemented it in, and I carried it around in a six-ring binder, and that was the system. And then, you know, as the electronic tools became more and more available, you can do that. And you know, some people, even today, will like some combination of electronic and paper, and that's okay. For me, electronic is more comfortable, and most of what I do, even taking notes, is electronic. And for others, it's some combination, and for yet others, perhaps all paper works, and all of that is fine.
Let me just ask you this question. What's your approach to handling email? Do you save it for a specific time of day? How do you handle the inflow and still stay productive?
So good question. I think there may be a couple of questions in there. So I do set some times to process my emails. So the process is making the decision about what I'm going to do. So I the email opens and I asked myself those two questions. For years, I had them actually posted on my monitor. I don't anymore, but what's the successful outcome? What's the next action? And I ask myself those questions. And then, so if I do that about three times a day, really dedicated, that's what I'll do. And then throughout the day, perhaps in between meetings, I'll do what I call just an emergency scan. And if something looks like it needs some urgent attention, then I'll pay attention to it. Otherwise, I'll, you know, wait for my next cycle.
Mm-hmm.
But so the important part of all of that, though, is to make a decision about it, put it onto your action list, get it out of your inbox so it's not distracting you anymore, and then move on to the next thing. So really make the decision about what you're going to do. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
So what else? Great questions.
Let me also ask you this, just because of the ever-present inflow of email. What if it is something that you frankly need to just incubate for a while, that you don't necessarily know what the successful outcome looks like or what the next action is?
Mm-hmm. Well, so let me ask you, what is it a situation where you may need more information?
Typically, yeah.
Okay. And then how would you get that information?
Well, it may be needing more information, and it may just be needing time to soak on it, trying to make
yeah.
a decision.
Sure. Yeah, so, you know, the example that comes to mind for me is, you know, I get a I like kind of technology and new gadgets, right? And so if I get a magazine or a periodical or something that comes in the mail, and I'll look at it and say, oh, that looks really cool, I may want that. And I say, well, you know, now's maybe not the right time to decide. You know what, I'm just going to incubate this out a week. And there's a tool I didn't talk about called the Tickler file.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll just essentially mail it back to me in a week, and then I can look at it again and say, oh, yeah, this is really cool. I think I will order it. Or what in the world was I thinking? There's no way I'm buying this, and into the trash it goes, right? So, sure. And sometimes, you know what, Bob, sometimes I'll put on my list, define the next action for XYZ project, because I'm not even – I don't have – either don't have the energy, or maybe it's information or something – to make that decision. So now I've captured it in a way that at least there's something I need to do about it.
Okay, cool.
Get it out of your mind,
question,
right?
John.
That's the key thing.
I have a question about, and I'm not sure that this is a system oriented as much as maybe philosophy, and maybe you have some words of advice, but I find that in my workflow, and I assume that the dental speakers that I work with probably experience similarly, that work doesn't seem to come in at a consistent pace, that it may seem like some weeks we just get overloaded with new projects and things, and then it's kind of like a peak in a valley, and then we have these more quieter times like spring and fall with speaking and consulting is always so much busier than summer, and the holidays gives us a chance to kind of catch our breath. And do you have some, as far as ways for us to handle this and kind of help us lower our stress level around that, in addition to the systems you've talked about, kind of going through and sorting it through and analyzing it and, you know, placing it in the proper bucket, do you have any words of advice as far as how to just deal with it when it just comes at you so fast that it feels overwhelming?
Yes, absolutely. So there's three types of work that come at us, right? The first type of work is defined work, so predefined work. So this is what we've already put on our action list, and those are the things that we've made decisions about and we want to focus on and we want to do it. The next is defining work, right? Making those decisions about what is going to go on our action list. And by the way, sometimes it's more important to decide what not to do than it is what to do. So predefined work, defining work, and the third, which I think you're talking about here, is ad hoc work. And that's the stuff that just comes at us throughout the day. And when when you really get good at putting all of this inventory together, you will naturally make better decisions about what's appropriate to take on ad hoc versus push it off. Stephen Covey talks about quadrant two time management, and he says, you know, what is urgent isn't always important. Sometimes it appears that way, but they're two different things. Sometimes it's urgent and important. The house is burning down. I need to do something about it. Where we want to be spending most of our time is important but not urgent. That's planning. That's like today. This is about important and not urgent, so we can build a new skill and get better at it. Does that answer your question?
It does. Thank you. It makes me think it probably helps then if you have really solidly defined vision and goals, you can hold up this ad hoc work as it comes in to make sure that it really is something important to do as well.
Now, Vanessa, I know you love to stay on time with these. I would love to just put an offer out to the group if I could, and maybe just a couple of references. By the way, the two pieces of work that have really influenced me in this space is one, a book by David Allen, which is called Getting Things Done. And the other, and I mentioned Stephen Covey, wrote a book with Roger Merrill and Rebecca Merrill called First Things First. And you know, both of those, you may know Stephen Covey from Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, and habit number three is First Things First, so he wrote a whole book just about that habit. And so those are really two excellent books in this space. And so if you'd like to, you know, dive into this maybe at the next level, what I'd like to offer is a complimentary 30-minute one-on-one coaching session. And all you have to do is go to, and this is in the handout, so it's easy if you have it there. And if you don't, I'll just give it to you. It's fortuneboston.com. So F as in Frank, O R, T as in Tom, U, N as in Nancy, E as in Edward, and then Boston like the city. So fortuneboston.com/productivity. And what you'll do there is you'll answer, I have a productivity assessment there. It's 10 questions. It'll take you less than 5 minutes. And then that will trigger an email to me for us to set up some time to dig into. You may want to dig into one of these concepts a little bit more thoroughly or talk about something else. That's fine. So I just wanted to offer that as a dental speaker colleague.
Thank you. I've really enjoyed this.
Really
this has been fascinating.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Great
so
information.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you so much for joining us, Don, and everyone. Thank you for listening in. This has just been exceeded my greatest expectations. I mean, quite honestly, I think it's been really a great session. I really have enjoyed the interactive format, and I think our listeners have gotten a lot out of that as well. And we want to be sure and remind everyone, Don's website again is fortuneboston.com, which you can visit for more information, fortuneboston.com/productivity. Thank you again for that generous offer of a complimentary coaching call as well for our listeners. And I can foresee where many of our listeners on the line work with dental clients who would quite likely benefit from your productivity coaching, and I think that's a great an additional benefit for them in listening in today. This has been just tremendous. So thank you all. I know we're at the end of our hour. Don, is there anything else to add? Were you ready for us to sign off?
I'd just like to say thank you for playing along, and it was my pleasure to be with you today, and thanks again, Vanessa, for inviting me to join in.
Absolutely. We'd love to have you back. And listeners, be sure and follow us at DDS, directoryofdentalspeakers.com. You can learn more about our teleseminar learning series there where it's designed to help you, our dental speakers, grow their businesses. So feel free to visit us online. And we'll go ahead and say our goodbyes, and we'll see you next month. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
Bye.
Care.
Thank you.